Let's get started. Okay, so this is once again from the Sefer that we've been studying, Minchas Asher and Emunah, and this also is from one of the letters. As you see here, chapter 26, Perek Chavav, Igeres Chizuk Lema'okve Shidduch. It's a letter of Chizuk to people who are having trouble getting married, finding their Shidduch, finding their Bashert. And what's obviously particularly interesting to us is that it's not only about that, although that's an interesting and important topic, but Bir Inyan HaNisyonos Be'olam HaZeh. More broadly, the whole idea of a Nisayon, of God testing us, of us having struggles in this world, a Nisayon, what is the point of all that? Why does Hashem do that to us? And the letter is addressed, most of the letters here do not have the name of the person he's writing, but this is actually addressed to somebody named Rav Hillel Wertheimer. I don't know anything about him, but evidently, as we can see here in the first paragraph, he must have been, I guess, compiling or editing, maybe he even wrote a sefer that seems to be on the topic of Shidduchim. I'm just gathering, as he says, Rav Hillel Yikari, Mode Ani Lamalas Kvoto, Shenasan Lias Azchus, Lihishtateif Besefer Choshev Azeh Bedvarim Ma'atim. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to participate, to join in this very important book, even if I just, you know, contribute a small amount. Ula yebem lachazek et ela shemachakim bekilyon einayim liyeshuas Hashem b'metzias ben zugam. Hopefully this will be some kind of a chizuk, he says, to those who are waiting, right, with very, you know, kind of soft and wet and teary eyes as they are waiting for their Yeshua when they're looking for a shidduch. Now, obviously, those of you who are on the line with us in the shiur now, you're all obviously a little young to be, I'm not saying you might not ever have dated yet, but I'm not that naive, but I don't think anyone at your stage of life, you know, is mechakim kilyon einayim for a shidduch. But I'm not saying any of you are doing this, but just given the fact that I'm speaking to Shana Aleph, Shana Bet guys, I would just stress, you know, it's very, very important not to be dismissive of this. I mean, when you compare this to, I don't know, God forbid, somebody dying young or losing a child or something, one might be, you know, tempted to kind of a little bit dismiss this, certainly by comparison. And moreover, sometimes I think it's fair to say that people in our community are sometimes a little bit insensitive or sarcastic about people maybe in the more yeshivish community where, you know, a girl who's already 21 or 22, it's already a crisis. And, you know, now is not the time for a sociological critique of the various strengths, the weaknesses of different communities. I will admit that I share sometimes, maybe your instinct that certain communities have put on too much pressure or put too much pressure too young of an age on the topic. But that's not really relevant for now, whatever the merits of the arguments are. The point is that whatever community you're in, if you're at a point where this is something that you desperately want, or let alone feel that you need, and you're having trouble finding a shidduch, so this actually can be as bad, you know, or as real a tragedy, you know, capital T, so to speak, as almost any other. Again, I wouldn't compare anything to, God forbid, Rahman al-Islam losing a child or something like that, but this is real. This is very real. Again, certainly at my age and with some of my life experiences, if you'll indulge me for putting on my old guy's hat for a second, I certainly do know, including people my age, people I'm friendly with, people I went to college with, people my wife went to college with, you know, who are still single. And obviously at my age, it's really, you know, it's almost beyond, you know, you can't even put into words how frustrating and painful that might be. But I remember even, you know, with some of the people that I know who were single in their late 20s or early and mid 30s, and, you know, even at that age, you know, how difficult and how much of a burden this is. And for people who are going through this, this could really, really be a nisayon. In that sense, it's kedai to study this even when he's talking about shidduchim. But of course, I think the broader point, which is going to be the one that interests all of us in particular, is, you know, in general, when somebody's suffering, put the word suffering in quotes, whatever the suffering is, whatever the challenge is, what is the point of this? You know, how do we process this from a perspective of emunah? So with that background in mind, we're ready to start the actual letters. It says Rav Asher Weiss as follows. Hein yadanu shekol chayenu. We have to realize, we have to be acknowledging that all of our lives, ba'olam hazeh, ritzufim nisyonos v'kashim. We have to realize that all of life is one big nisayon. And again, I don't think he's being melodramatic. And again, here also, it's a little bit easier for me to relate to at my age and my stage of life. But the reality is, each person at their own stage of life, each person on their own level, life is full of challenges. Not every challenge is the end of the world. Not every challenge is the sky falling. Not every challenge is equal. But life is basically full of challenges one to the other. And successful people are people who don't necessarily are not always successful at each challenge, but they're able to at least keep on going instead of giving up or getting crushed by the various challenges of life. And this is a little bit somber or depressing, but it's just, you know, it's true. That's just the reality of life. However, and now Rav Asher Weiss goes with his first, I wouldn't say it's a chiddush, but his first, you know, more challenging statement, and he says, you have to realize that all of these challenges are ultimately God's chesed to us. These are mechaz de Hashem. It's a hidden chesed, mechaz de anistarim. We don't see why it's a chesed, but we believe, he says, that ultimately God's doing this, if you will, I guess, for our best. That's why he calls it a chesed. Ukefisha limeid hatana hagadol Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, none other than Rabbi Akiva. Again, today on Lag BaOmer, appropriate to study a word of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva taught us very famously, al kol davar v'davar, you have to realize about everything that happens in life, kol davar rachmana latava Ovid, that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, he's doing for the good. Now again, obviously this is, in many times, you know, good things happen, it's easy to see. You know, how do you, you know, if you, you know, didn't get into a certain school you wanted, didn't get accepted for a certain job, had some other challenge, how about you just were frustrated with your learning, weren't being successful in the base medrash, etc. Those are nisyonos, no doubt about it. In what way are those good for us? That's hard to understand, and that's what the letter here is going to address. He continues in the next paragraph, Ein ha-nisyonot ba'im al ha'adam b'mikre. First thing you have to realize is, nothing is a coincidence. Ela b'hashkacha pratis. You have to realize that if this nisyon is happening to you, it's not random. We have to work with the assumption that it's deliberate, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent it deliberately and sent it to you, sent it to me, sent to any one of us, specifically or deliberately. As the Pasuk says, in the third parak of Mishlei, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. Hashem rebukes, Hashem challenges, Hashem gives difficult situations to the people that he loves. It's not random, but rather specifically and deliberate. And I think that in terms of how each one of us process a particular nisayon that we might be going through, this is really the single most important foundational point. Because if you assume that whatever's happening to you is happening by hashkacha, that was going to be a completely different lens through which you're going to process why is it that it's happening? What message might Hashem be giving me? Why might this be happening to me? In what way can I use this to get better for where I am? Right? All of those are very purposeful and, you know, growth-oriented questions, but they're also very personal and unique. And that only makes sense to ask those questions, let alone the answers, but even to ask the questions. And again, the questions are really how we're processing the nisayon in our lives. I'm not saying the answers aren't unimportant, but I think they're less important than the fact that we confront a nisayon, a certain challenge, a certain disappointing or painful experience in our life, by asking these questions. By asking those kind of questions, we've converted this from just merely a difficult situation to something which we can seriously grow from and learn from, as he's going to discuss in a minute. But the point is, if we see these as more random, we could still theoretically, you know, learn something from them. But it's not going to be the same thing. If we see them as happening bashkacha pratis, so then we're asking all the same questions I just mentioned, but we're not just asking them, what could a person learn? What could I learn? Why might God do this to somebody? No, why might he be doing this to me? And why might he be doing this to me at this stage of my life and at a different stage? Those are completely different kind of questions just by personalizing them. And that is his first point. We have to realize that these are all happening deliberately, b'kavana, and not random. And to make this larger point, he quotes, and this will be a big body of the letter now, really the crux of the letter, a very famous, world-famous medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Hein mashal nifla mashlu chachmenu be'inyan hanisyonos. So there's an incredibly important medrash that our chazal used to teach us about nisyonos. It's in Bereishis Rabbah in Parshas Noach, if I recall correctly. And it's on the pasuk in Tehillim of Hashem tzadik yivchon, which is similar to the pasuk we saw previously, that Hashem tests the tzadikim. The continuation of that pasuk is that God basically detests the rishayim. So he's not testing them. He might be punishing them. He might be ignoring them. But he's not testing them. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves somebody, that's who he challenges. That's who he tests. Now that's a pasuk in Tehillim. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. So the Medrash commenting on that pasuk, Mashal ze kaful umechupal. The Medrash is going to give, as we shall see in a moment, three different parables, three different metaphors, three different mashalim to explain what this concept is. We're going to go through the Medrash, and as we're going through the Medrash, try to think about why might the Medrash feel the need to give three different metaphors to ostensibly make the exact same point. So number one, says the Medrash, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Hayotzer hazeh eino bodek kankanim ruaim she'eino maspik lakush aleihem achas ad shehu shovram. So the first mashal that Rabbi Yonasan gives is to a artisan or a craftsman, someone who's making, and it seems like he's probably talking about earthenware, clay, kelim, jugs or vessels, and he's not yet sure, right, you know, how well, how solid they are. Did the creative process, did it really create a strong kli? So says Rabbi Yonasan, this, you know, artisan or this, you know, shopkeeper, this producer, he's not going to check or repeatedly bang on the kelim that are meruaim, that are already very fragile, because he knows they're going to break the first time you hit them. Rather, umihu bodek, who does he check? Who's the one who he bangs, if you will? Bekankanim yafim, on the ones that look good, that look strong. On those, afilu maki shalem kama pamim, einam nishbarim, because he knows, or he's hoping to find out, and to be able to show people, look, you see how good my product is? Come buy my jugs, buy my vases. Look, after all, I could bang it a few times, nothing happens to it. So too says the Medrash, Kach ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaseh et harishayim el es hatzadikim. That's why God tests the tzadikim and not the rishayim, as the pasuk says, Hashem tzadik yivchan, and the pasuk says in Bereishis Kaf Bet, of course, in Vayera, the beginning of the story, which eventually obviously discusses the Akedah, of Ha'elokim nisa et Avraham. Why does God test a person like Avraham? Why does Hashem in general test tzadikim, says the Medrash, in the first metaphor? It's comparable to a shopkeeper who, so to speak, you know, trying to show off and show everyone how good his wares are. What's he going to bang? He's only going to bang the kalim that he's confident in are the strongest, that could withstand him banging on them. He's not going to bang on something that he knows is going to crumble at the first moment. That's the first metaphor, the first mashal. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, I'll give you a second mashal. Ben Chanina. What's this comparable to? Hapashtani hazeh, a person who works with flax. Now, I don't understand exactly the process of flax as much, but work with me, so to speak. we'll do our best, all of us. I don't think anyone on the call here is an expert in flax. Hapashtani hazeh, someone who works with flax. B'shoshu yodea shapishtan shelo yafeh, a person who thinks that a particular, you know, piece of flax is good, it's strong, this is a healthy one. Kol shehu kocha hi mishtabechas. The more he hits it, each time he bangs the flax, it's actually getting better. The kolz manchu makisha leha, he mishtamenet. It's actually getting rid of the bad stuff and itself allowing it to grow and get fuller and stronger. Ubashashi odesha pishtan shalo ra'a. But if he sees a particular piece of flax and he thinks that it's bad, it's a weak piece of flax, eno maspik lakushala achas, he's not even going to hit it once, or if he does hit it once, it'll only last once, and then it'll be brittle, and it'll all fall apart. Whereas the stronger it is, then each time you're hitting it, it's getting stronger, as opposed to the weak one, will fall apart, will disintegrate the first time you hit it. Again, ostensibly, a similar point. Why does the pasuk say that God tests the tzaddik? Because the tzaddik is comparable to the healthy, strong flax, and therefore you want to hit the strong flax, you don't want to hit the weaker, more unreliable flax. And last but not least, says the Medrash, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Moshel Abal Habayit, an owner or individual, a farmer, or some kind of businessman, Shailo Beis Paros, he has two cows, Achas Kocha Yofav, Achas Kocha Ra. One of them is a very strong, sturdy cow, and the other one's weaker. Amihu no sein es ha'ol. Who's he going to put? He has a big burden. He's traveling from who knows, from place to place. Where is he going to put the heavy burden on? Which of the cows? Lo al zos shekocho yafe. Isn't he going to put it on the one that's very strong? Kaka chorsh baruchu manaseh tzadikim shenamar. Hashem tzadik yivchan. Okay, so makes, again, ostensibly an identical, if not very similar, point that why does Hashem test, quote-unquote, the tzaddikim? Because they're comparable to a strong cow. If you had some, big stuff to schlep, who would you put it on, right? You'd put it on your strongest ones. You wouldn't test somebody who's weak, because again, you know, like the weak flax, like the weak jug, it's going to crumble, it'll disintegrate, it'll collapse under the weight, right? So we have three different mishalim. We have the jugs made by the artisan, we made the flax, and then we have the cows for transportation. And all three of them are metaphors to highlight this idea that Hashem tests the righteous. So what's the obvious question? The obvious question he asks right away, and I already foreshadowed it, I already referenced it. Yesh litponein, lama kaflu v'shilshalu chazal b'mashal zeh, halolach ora ein hadvarim el choser malatzman. What's the need for three different metaphors? Ostensibly, it seems like all three of them are making the exact same point. Anyone want to, before we sneak a peek at what he tells us, anyone want to suggest their own theory? Anyone have an idea why there might be the benefit of having three different mishalim to make what seems like the same point? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Anybody? Yes, Ariel.
You seem to be making three different points, meaning that the one of them was, the last one was Hashem has this burden, he needs to put it on one of us, and the Jews seem to be the stronger one. The first one was to kind of show off that his creations can handle it, and the second one seems to be to make us better. So
okay.
All seems to be kind of three different.
Okay, excellent. Anyone else have any other ideas? Okay, so Ariel, what you're saying is, we shall see now, either exactly or at least close to exactly the beautiful Chiddush and interpretation that Rav Asher Weiss shares with us from the Netziv himself. It's not as we'll see now, this is not from Rav Asher Weiss himself, although he will elaborate on it, but he says here, Perish Nifla, Kasav B'zeh Netziv Mi V'lozhin. The Netziv of V'lozhin, in his commentary to the Chumash B'Hamek Dovar, he asks this question, and he gives the following explanation. And this is, again, right in Bereishis Kafbet, this is right on the Pasuk, at the beginning of Vayera, Hashem Nisa Et Avraham. So it says the Netziv as follows. Hine, Shlosh Ta'amim, V'Shalosh Sibot Yesh V'Akadosh Baruch Hu Menaseh Et Eilah Shu Ohev Biyoter, Keder Shenis Es Avraham Avinu Basar Nisyonos. There are three ways and three different reasons why Hashem will davka test those who he loves the most, just like he tested Avraham famously with 10 Nisyonos. Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menaseh Es HaAdam, B'Der Shiyotzer HaKadim, Makish Al Kankanav. Says sometimes Hashem is testing people in the same way that the artisan, the shopkeeper, is banging on his particularly strong drugs. Why? Kol kavanaso laharot larabim shekan kanim meshubachim huose. What's the purpose of banging on those jugs? To show everyone how good a job he did, how good his product is. Ach ein hakasha. He's not doing this to somehow praise or improve the actual kankan. He's doing it in a certain sense to praise himself. Look at the job I did. You could trust me, buy my stuff. Look how good of a job I did, says the Netziv. Kach nisa kodesh baruch was Avram. That's on one level why Hashem tested Avram, or tests anybody. Lahodia l'kol bayi olam, so that everyone should know, shetzadiku, to show everyone, to give, Avraham, so to speak, his props, as some of you might say, to let him shine in a way to basically show off how good Avraham is, because as a result, that will also be, the team wins, if you will. That's a kiddush shem shamayim, to say, look how great Avraham Avinu, my devoted follower, is. And just like the artisan is praised, benefits when you see how good his product is, right? This is a very fascinating phenomenon, right? But basically, he's using a shopkeeper, mashal, but we could also even almost imagine it like a parent, right? Just like a parent gets a certain amount of nachas. And again, hopefully we're not dealing with narcissistic or worse parents who, are just living vicariously through their child, or who use their children only as a pawn to show off, which can happen, and that's incredibly disappointing. But I think even in the most normal, healthy, balanced parent-child relationship, I think there's a certain, amount of healthy nachat that a parent, you know, wants to, and I think has every right to hopefully be able to benefit from his or her child. And I think, you know, and I think there's no doubt that, you know, when people see how great, you know, so-and-so is, right, that reflects good on the parent, and the parent, you know, benefits from that. I don't think there's any point in denying that. Again, I'm not sure what the exact formula is or proportions or ratio is, but there's no question you could also go too far in that. And it's all about the parent and all about, you know, the parent's vanity. And that's totally inappropriate and can really be destructive to the parent-child relationship at times. But in 90% of the time, 95, 99% of the time, when it's a more healthy parent-child relationship, it makes sense that on some level, yes, the parents do enjoy the nachas, not only because they enjoy it, but it also does make them look good a little bit. So says the Nitziv, that's basically the same idea as the first mashal in the parable, in the Medrash, that the shopkeeper is, so to speak, showing off by highlighting his best product. So too, and this is really mind-blowing if you use this theologically, says the Nitziv, that's what Akash Baruch Hu sometimes does. Hey everybody, look at what I got. Look what I produced. Look who's on my, look who's the captain of my team. Look who I got on my team. I got an Avram Avinu. Right? So the assumption is, by the way, and I think this is consistent with Ariel said also, and the Nitziv doesn't say this explicitly, but I think it's consistent with what the Nitziv said, which is I think the assumption here, perhaps throughout the Medrash, but it's especially clear right now, is that Akash Baruch Hu is absolutely confident that what? That Avram is going to pass the test. That the tzaddik is going to pass the test, right? He's like the coach who's calling the play for the star player. He knows the coach, you know, he doesn't have any doubt that the you know, it's like calling the last play for MJ, right? You know the ball's going in. Right? You don't need to be a brilliant coach to call that play, right? But it's going to make the coach look good, right? When the player makes a great play, it makes the coach look good. And the truth is, sometimes coaches outsmart themselves. Sometimes it takes a smart coach just to call the play for the best player. So again, on whatever metaphor you prefer, all of that is what the Nitziv is saying is one possibility, the first possibility of why Hashem would have a test by highlighting to the world, not to Hashem. He doesn't need the test, but he wants everyone else to see how the tzaddik succeeds at the test, and that will not only make the tzaddik look good, but from this perspective, more importantly, it makes the Kaddish Baruch Hu look good. That was number one. Number two, V'yesha Kaddish Baruch Hu menase et tzaddik kedei sheyisa es. Oh, excuse me, I skipped one. My bad. V'yesha Kaddish Baruch Hu menase et ha'adam lezachacho. The second one says in the Tziv is where the Hashem tests the tzaddik for his benefit, not his with the lowercase h, for the person's benefit. That through the challenge, through the nisayon, through the struggle in difficult situation, that person is mezakech, he's purified, if you will. He's elevated to other madregos, to higher levels. Kasher bochein kliyot v'leiv makir b'libo shel adam shebiyado la'amo b'nisayon b'gvura u'lekabel yisurim b'ahava Akadosh Baruch Hu menaseu kedei le'hashbicho. When Akadosh Baruch Hu knows, Akadosh Baruch Hu, again, yes, Hashem also knows if you're going to pass the test or not. But here he's emphasizing, not that Hashem knows you're going to pass it as much as Hashem knows you can pass it. Hashem knows that you have latent potential, perhaps not yet actualized. Perhaps you haven't yet taken advantage of your potential and all of your gifts and all of your strengths. So Hashem says, I know you have it in you, and by testing you, you will rise to the challenge. And again, here also, I think in many, many areas of life, we can imagine very easily the corollary to this, whether it's a parent, a teacher. It could even be the coach of a sports team also. I think that could also, in many cases, work. Where you know that so-and-so, either they're underperforming or they just haven't been challenged yet. And they're because without a challenge, without the pressure, there's only so far a person can go. And therefore, sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a challenge, gives you a nisayon, because he's confident you can overcome it. And if you do overcome it, it will elevate you and you'll actually be better and stronger for it. That is the second idea of the Nisayon. And that says Rav Asher, the Nitziv, excuse me, Bederecha Pashtani Maki Ala Pishtan Kedei Yeshro U'Hashbicho. That's similar to the second one, where each time he hits the flax, he's making it better. And thirdly, says the Nitziv, Yesha Kadosh Baruch Hu Menaset HaTzadik Kedei Sheyisas Avon Ador V'Yechaper Aleihem. There are sometimes, and this is perhaps the hardest for us to understand on our level, sometimes here we're talking about a tzaddik with the capital tzaddik, like the real tzaddikim. Sometimes Hashem gives them real nisyonos, gives them real trouble, gives them real struggles in life, because by them suffering, on some level, this is a little bit of a kapara for the door. Just like sometimes you put the heavy load on the shoulders of the strong animal, it's not for the benefit of the animal, it's for the benefit of getting the, you know, you need to be able to plow. So you need to put a heavy weight on the back of that cow, or you need to be able to get your produce from the field to the market. So he's saying here, it's not so much for the benefit of the farmer, it's not for the benefit of the animal, it's for the benefit of the people who are going to then benefit from the produce that's being created. So three possible purposes of the Nisayon. The first one, on some level, the most intriguing. It's for the God's benefit, Hashem's benefit. He looks good when his tzaddikim perform under pressure. Number two is for the tzaddik's benefit. He'll discover perhaps previously unknown or underdeveloped talents. And number three is, sometimes a tzaddik needs to, again, for reasons that are completely inscrutable to us as human beings, I can't understand why this should be, but says the Netziv as a statement of fact, axiomatically, sometimes it's for the benefit of the tzibor, of the generation, that the tzaddik will suffer. Hare shloshes hamishalim k'nega shlosha anashim, shlosha matzovim, v'shlosh sibo she beginam saval ba sevel ba al tzadikim v'yishrei derech. Three different situations, three different people, three different reasons why even the most righteous person might be challenged, might suffer. V'tzadikim mekablam yisurim v'ava v'yisurim elu chasadim hema, and really these are all chasadim. God's not doing it because he's cruel, God's actually doing it because he's kind. U'b'zchutam zochim anu liyeshuas v'siyata reshmaya, by successfully overcoming and suffering through these difficult challenges, we are blessed with great blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shomea Shabbas Hadal, Mamale Mishal Tzibah Tova, who hopefully will hear our tefillos and help us be successful and transcend whatever our particular challenges are. And we started a little bit late, so just let's go a few more minutes, three more minutes, to finish the second part of the letter, which is where he then specifically addresses the issue of a shidduch. And again, even though he is explicitly addressing a shidduch, which is a very real nisayon for the people who are suffering from it in that difficult challenge, but also the things he mentions are not unique to a shidduch, they're actually relevant to anyone, frankly. So he says, skulos rabos matzinu l'metzias zivug hagun. He says there are many different special skulot that a person can have to hopefully find the right shidduch. Achmi bein kulam, he says, but the most important things, shtei skulos yeshnan shein, godlos mehen, ein gedolos mehen, lezakos rachme shvayim yishuas Hashem. But there are two, he says, which there's nothing better than these two. These are the two most important things. And again, as you shall see imminently, the two things he mentions are not like unique shidduch related things. He's applying it to shidduchim, but these are true if you told me the problem was parnasa, good health, shalom bayis, getting along with your parents, whatever the case, being successful in your learning. These are two sgulos that are better than anything else you'll find online, so to speak. Number one, he says, is davening, tefillah. After all, Gemara tells us in brachos, Am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Emra Adam Shispalal Vononene, Yachzer V'Yispalal. If you daven and you don't get what you want, what's the answer? Daven again, as the pasuk says, Kave El Hashem, Chazak Yemetz Libecha, and then again a second time, put your trust in God, Kave El Hashem. Or in a similar vein, the Medrash in Tehillim says, Nitpalel V'lo Ne'ene, you davened and you weren't answered yet, Yachzor V'Yitpalel, again, daven, V'Yekave El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Al Yevosh B'Kev, don't be embarrassed, don't give up, Shinemar Chazak Yemetz Libecha, V'Kave El Hashem. Says Rav Asher Weiss, Maise B'Chol Yom, he says, let's be honest, let's be real. Right? Every day this happens. Shemispalel adam b'cholibo, a person davens with great kavana, v'lo nene, and he doesn't get what he wants. Maya says, so what should he do? Yachzer v'yispalel, v'yachzer v'yispalel, v'yachzer v'yispalel, daven again, daven again, daven again. Ula olam, never give up. Lo yitya'esh el yeda, we have to realize, shekol tfila v'tfila olel kisya kavod. This is, we have to have another shir on davening, to give you a lot of makoros on this point. This is not a unique point of Rosh Weiss, but it is a very powerful point. He says, there are many makoros to make this, express this idea, that every tefillah, even when it's not answered initially, but every tefillah goes up to the Kisei HaKavod, goes up to Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishtasheh b'tefilos b'shal tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys, he loves our tefillos, u'metaveh lehen, ve'en gadol mikoch ha'tefillah. So number one, you have to realize, even if you weren't answered right away, don't give up davening, keep on davening. Davening is the secret weapon that we have, we always have to daven. That's the first thing he says. And again, it's applicable to Shidduchim, but no reason to limit it to Shidduchim as well. And number two, he says, just if not more important, number two is Lahativ im habriyot, to be kind to others, to help others, to do chesed with other people. Hari modid in la'odam b'midah shu modid la'acherim. As the Gemara says, b'midah shadam modid, modid in lo. Right, this is of course the famous idea of midah keneged midah. Right, this is a, you know, as basic a Jewish belief as almost you could say as almost as exists, that God relates to us, A, as we relate to Him, and B, as we relate to other people. They're makoros for both. It's a quid pro quo in the best sense of the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you the way you treat other people in this context. Kal merachem al abrios, merachem al avmin ha-shamayim. If you have mercy on other people, Hashem will have mercy on you. And as the Gemara says, kal ma'avir al midosav, ma'avir en lo al kol pishav. Right, if someone provokes you, right, you have every right to get angry, every right to be jealous, every right to lash out. But you are ma'avir al midosav. You overcome your natural instinct. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ma'avir al kol pishav. Even when Hashem has a right to be angry at us, has a right to punish us, hopefully Hashem will overcome that instinct. Instead of punishing us, He'll be kind to us even when we don't deserve it. Why? Because if you know, to use a term that's popular nowadays, this is the way we can trigger God. This is a trigger, right? But in a healthy, positive sense. If you want to trigger God's compassion, trigger God's kindness, trigger God's bracha, then treat other people the way you want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to treat with you. Treat you. Kach darko shal Kadosh Baruch Hu midah keneged midah. If you feel you are in the need of Rachmanis, again, whether it's in Shidduchim or anything else, you feel like you're just in a difficult situation and Hashem is just, you know, you're just really being challenged in a way that you're having a hard time living up to. Yisurim ba'al love, you're suffering. And suffering doesn't just mean, God forbid, a deadly disease or something like that, or bad health, although of course it means that. Even things that are a lot less than that objectively, but if they're really interfering with your life, if they're really hurting you emotionally, let alone physically, then that's real. There's no reason to dismiss it if it's happening to you, and certainly not to anybody else. Yisuri aguf or yisuri nefesh, whether it's a physical ailment or an emotional, psychological one. So what is one of the segulos? How do you deal with this? Says Rav Asher Weiss, based on this previous point, these Gemaras, Ya'asok milas chasodim, yetiv im habrios. Help other people. It's only natural on every level, right? One of the most natural things when we're suffering or we're challenged, what's our natural instinct? To look inward, to become self-focused, and in a certain sense, frankly, selfish. It's totally against the natural teva. It's against our instinct when we're suffering to dafka look outwards. But that's the point. If even in our most difficult times, we can transcend that and look beyond ourselves to see how we can help other people, that's truly a skula for hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing that for us. Vimro ish o isha, b'chor o na'aresh, zivugam, mishtasha v'lavo, lishtadu lazor luzasam b'nyazeh, b'kach yaviyu al atm yishuas Hashem. So it says Rav Asher Weiss, when it comes to Shidduchim, if you're having trouble, whether it's a boy or a girl, you're at an age where you hope to be married, you're looking, it's not working, what's the best thing you can do in this sense? Not only to daven, as he already said, but you should also try to help other people, dafkin Shidduchim. Set other people up, daven for other people. You should know that there is a rabbi. With this, I'll end the story. Some of you may have heard, especially if you are, and I don't know if there's anyone on the call here from the five towns, there's a rabbi who lives in Cedarhurst named Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsberg. Unfortunately, he's actually been incredibly sick with corona. I'm not sure if he was in a coma, but he was definitely intubated for a long time. There were tehillim for him. Anyway, he not that long ago, he came home. And I don't know if he's had a complete refuah shlema yet, but he's, thank God, very much on the mend. Anyway, I don't know how many years ago, but some time ago, unfortunately, one of his daughters died. I think she was an older teen. Maybe she was 20. I'm not sure. She was still single, but she was either right on the cusp of or already in the parsha of Shidduchim when she passed away. And I don't remember all the details of the story, but I believe that sometime shortly after she died, her parents, as a zechus for her memory and as aliyah neshama, her parents basically created a whole organization to try to promote people who are in the parsha of Shidduchim to daven for each other. You're looking for a shidduch, so you would call this organization, again, I don't know exactly how it works, but from what I understand, you would give them your name, and then someone else called and said, oh, I'm also having trouble with the shidduch. So they would swap, and each person would be given the name of another person. You don't know who it is, you just know the Hebrew name. It's anonymous. But then you're davening for that person, that they should get a shidduch. And that's the same idea. Again, it's also, Rav Asher Weiss doesn't quote this, but there's actually a Gemara that says, I think it's a Baba Kama, if I remember correctly, the Gemara that says, right, if there's something you need, or Brachos, I can't remember now, maybe in both places, if there's something you need, and you daven that someone else should have it, even before you daven for yourself, that's the best schus. And that's the premise of this chesed organization, which is Dafka about Shaduchim. And again, they claim, and I have no reason not to believe them, that in the years since it has been established, that there are hundreds of Shaduchim that have come from this. And it's really quite amazing. And that's basically the second example that Rav Asher Weiss was giving here, which is that when you're having a difficult nisayon, he's talking about Shaduchim. But it could be in learning, it could be in anything, right? If you're having trouble in learning, right, Mirtz Hashem, whether it's a Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, you're struggling. So the natural instinct is to look inward. How can I do better? How can I get happier? How can I do this? And of course, you have to, self-care is important. Of course, you have to worry about that. But one of the tricks is not only to daven for Hashem to help you, that's important. We could daven for spiritual things also, not just material things. But also, when you're struggling, go out of your way to try to find someone else who's struggling and see if you can help him or her. Again, I don't want to speak, A, it's too late already now, and B, it's a little too personal for me to give you the details. But I had one particular thing in my life where I was really suffering greatly on an emotion level for something. And I really did not see a way out at the time. And as it so happens, I had a speaking engagement where I dafka was speaking about the broader parsha that no one outside of the room knew I myself was suffering with. And I have to say, I even in the moment, I kind of felt it happening. And certainly in retrospect, when I look back, that the beginning of the pivot towards the light at the end of the tunnel happened when I started having to give that speech. I was asked to speak about a certain topic to a group where I was actually trying to give people chizuk in the same thing that I was suffering from. And even as short as, you know, a half a day or a few hours before I had to give that speech, I didn't think I could do it. My wife didn't think I was very nervous. But I didn't want to back out. I still didn't want to admit why I was nervous. And I ended up going forward. And I have to say, on some level, I really felt exactly what these Gemaras and what Rav Asher Weiss is talking about, which is, I dafka was looking to try to help people, and even in a small way, to deal with certain things. And by doing that, and I actually ended up really being a skula for my own emergence successfully from the thing that I was grappling with and struggling with. So whether it's Shaduchim, right? And that wasn't Shaduchim. I was already married by that point. Happily, I can report. But there are other things in life. Getting married didn't solve all the problems, trust me. So hopefully this is a good chizuk for all of us in Shaduchim if we ever need it. But really in all the nishkonos that every one of us, hopefully none of us have too strong of a difficulty or challenge. But even whether it's small or great, large or small, whatever it is, we hopefully should take these words to heart. And hopefully Hashem should bless us with great success and success and being good at managing these difficult challenges. Okay, everybody.